Hi there, welcome to Talk Canicross. I'm Janetta George.
And I'm Gail Walker. We're here today to talk all things Canicross, the fun way to get fit with your dog.
So each month we'll be joined by a special guest or two. We'll hear from professionals, regular Canicrossers, and also dog and human experts in their field. It will be real people and real stories.
So we hope you'll join us, whether it's for training tips, dog talk, or just for fun and encouragement. This is Talk Canicross, brought to you by DogFit. And don't forget to hit subscribe and keep in touch with all things Canicross.
So the exciting event of Cross is now in full swing, attracting dog lovers and enthusiasts from all around the world. Thousands of dogs have been primed and prepped, and we've put through their paces for the showing world. And it's a far cry from Canicross, you might think. Show dogs and Canicross dog athletes are two complete ends of the spectrum. But can you combine the two pastimes? Our guest today is experienced Canicrosser Lucy Allen, who has two beautiful Finnish Laphunds, quite possibly one of the most fluffiest breeds around. And they're really keen to get in the mud as well. But we're keen to find out about their time at showing at Crufts and their Canicross adventures. So welcome, Lucy. Good to have you on the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me.
Hi, Lucy. It's so great to see you. I guess first and foremost, just for the benefit of everyone listening, can you introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your dogs?
Yes, certainly. So I'm Lucy Allen and have always been a lover of dogs, grew up with a dog. And as soon as I could, I embarked on getting my first dog. And I have two Finnish Laphunds, as Janetta said. I have Otto, who is coming up to 10. And I have his nephew, Montu, who is just, in fact, he's 7 tomorrow.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, Monty.
And why did you choose that breed? Because they're lovely, they're so fluffy, but they look like big teddy bears, don't they? So why was that your choice?
They are not that common in the UK. I hadn't come across them before. I grew up with a rough collie. And she was the love of my life as a child. We did everything together. And as an adult, I wanted a dog that would remind me of her. But I think like many people that have dogs, you don't want to sort of, when you had a dog that you love, you don't want necessarily the same breed or the same type. Mm. You know, it's that memory. So I looked around and my husband and I, we had sort of the closest we could kind of come to what we were looking for was a Bernese mountain dog. But given that I also liked the outside and liked running, I thought, well, whilst Bernese are the most adorable dog, they are not running dogs. So I knew that I'd have to find something else that I could run with.
Yeah.
And we're sort of struggling to think about, you know, what dog would suit us. And then my godson actually went to Discover Dogs. And he came back all excited and he called me and he said, Lucy, I think I found our dog, a Finnish Lapland. And I was like, what is this? So went straight onto Google and saw the picture of said fluffy dogs. And then read up about them, and it literally seemed to be absolutely the dog that I wanted. You know, that they're outdoorsy, they're very, very clever. They can be left on their own for hours, but equally, they also like to sort of go outside and do all different activities.
Yeah.
And because I was sort of getting into running at this point, I also knew that given that their job in Lapland was to herd reindeer over thousands of miles, I knew that they had endurance and I knew that they would work with me outside. So needless to say, as soon as I went to meet one and I met puppies, then that was it. I was absolutely hooked.
So Lucy, we'll obviously come on to the whole Canicross adventures in a moment, because I'm really interested to hear all about that. But first of all, can you tell us a bit about the showing history and experience you've had with your dogs?
Yes, certainly. So when I first met the breeder of Otto, I met her actually at a show, and it was at the Richmond show. And I sort of met her and met other Finnish Lapland enthusiasts. And we sort of all got chatting and got to see the dogs sort of interacting in the ring. And when she said to me about, you know, sort of getting on her list for puppies, because these puppies are not easy to come by. There are huge waiting lists, normally up to 2 years. There are only a number, a handful of breeders in the UK. So she had said to me, well, would you be interested in showing? Now, I had no knowledge of showing. Yes, of course, I'd heard of Crufts, but other than that, I didn't really know what was involved. So when Otto came to us, the breeder then explained, you know, about how it all worked and going along to shows. So I thought, well, actually, this is a really good way of getting obedience for my dog, and also meeting other owners and getting out and about with Otto. And so I started to go to local shows and start competing. And we also did our local ring craft classes, which is where you go in order to get your dog ready, to be show ready for crafts. And so we started competing in both small local shows and then entering into the bigger champ shows. And you have to do a number of champ shows and win in your class in order to qualify for crafts. Now, Otto seemed to be quite popular with the judges. And so we ended up qualifying in a few champ shows and ended up getting to crafts. And because I'm slightly competitive, it was really good fun to do that. And then obviously have our day at crafts. And then it took it from there really, and sort of started doing that more and more.
Yeah, that's amazing. So from no knowledge of that breed or even showing, you got this lovely dog who happened to be quite successful. So that's lots of polishing and washing and kind of prepping though, isn't it? I mean, I can imagine, you know, perhaps you just like when you go to somewhere like Crufts, you know, the work that goes in behind the scenes to get the dog ready must be quite a lot.
Yeah. So thankfully, I mean, you'll see when, you know, you go to Crufts, you'll see people are with their grooming tables out and a lot of sort of bits and pieces, brushes and sprays and all sorts of things. We're actually really lucky with the Finnish Lapland and how the judges view them, in that because they are a primitive breed, they are very they're Nordic. They've been sort of recognised of not needing to be, you don't cut them at all. You don't have to actually wash them in order to prepare them for a show. It's really just about having them in their natural state. So giving them a good groom before you go. But thankfully for me, there's not a lot more involved with that than that.
That's lucky. And then how do they handle being in the arena and amongst all the other dogs and people?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's interesting at shows. You have people obviously from not only all over the country, but in some of the bigger champ shows, and certainly in Crufts, you've got a very international community there. And the dogs, actually, given that you have entire males, so all of the boys are entire, and you have obviously all the girls that whilst they can't be in season, are there as well. It's incredible that because of the training that is involved in order to get them to be able to behave in the ring, be handled by judges, and be in very close proximity to other dogs, you don't have the types of sort of situations that can arise that could arise in your local dog park or such. So it's very unlike, let's say, the Canicross world, which is a very excitable world, or the agility, because it's very low energy. So you'll find that the dogs are very, very calm. I found it a very nice experience to be in for my dogs.
Oh, lovely. And so you're in the showing world and doing really well with Otto. So the $6 million question is, how did you discover Canicross, and at what stage did you start doing that with him?
That's so going into dog ownership, as I said, you know, I had started getting into running, and I certainly had planned to spend a lot of time outside with my dog. So before I'd sort of, you know, thought about the showing world, it's certainly been about having a dog, you know, to exercise with. And as Otto was approaching a year old, I started thinking about what activities that we could do together. And so I started Googling running with your dog. You know, what kind of equipment would I need? And what would we need to think about doing in order to you know, get out and about? Because we live just off the North Downs. So I wanted to get out and about with him. Now, anyone that has a dog like a Finnish Lapland or a Husky will know that recall is a little bit of a challenge. Mm. And that was certainly something that I was experiencing, certainly with Otto. And so I also was looking at, you know, running with your dog on lead. And suddenly there was Canicross. And it was like a light bulb moment. I thought, well, this looks really good. It looks really safe. The equipment looks excellent, you know, the harnesses, the bungee line. And I thought this could really work. And I started seeing that there were clubs and activities and events that were around. So I sort of looked at what might be available locally to go and join. Yeah. And that's exactly what I did. So I went along to my first local club event, and it was a 10K, and we were pretty much at the back for the whole thing, but it didn't matter. We had the best time, everybody. And in fact, I think both of you might have been on that first run that I did. And it was a lovely group. Everyone was so welcoming. And I thought, here are my people. Here is something that I can see myself doing, you know, week in, week out, mud, rain, ice, snow, didn't matter. And we both loved it.
What about your dogs? How did they react to seeing all the other dogs, and did they pull straight away?
So at that stage, I only had Otto, and he was just two, because what had happened was that as he had turned it was the summer period, so I started a little bit late. He kind of got the concept, but anyone that knows Otto knows that he's not the biggest puller. He does Otto speed, but he loved it, and he loved being with the other dogs. Now, one of the things that we experienced, and this is something that I had been struggling with, was having an entire male in a sort of park community. He was getting attacked a lot by off-lead dogs. And so I was starting to struggle with him because he was becoming reactive. But I explained this when I turned up to the run, that, you know, I didn't know how he would be with the other dogs. And it was just incredible. He didn't grumble or bark at any of the other dogs. Everybody kept their distance. And it was like coming home. It was just so incredible to be with people, like-minded people who got it, who'd got the struggles, who perhaps have been through it themselves. It just really worked. But I quite quickly realized that I needed a second engine. The Otto wasn't going to be my race dog, because I suddenly realized that there was a whole racing world out there, and that I would need to get puppy number two.
Oh, it's so lovely to hear, and just you can feel the emotion and all being transported back. But were you still showing him at the time then, when you first started Canicross? And what did the showing world, what was their thoughts? Because I know, you know, obviously the whole ring craft thing, the way that the dog's pace in the ring is very important, that they're typical for their breed. Were there people that thought that if you Canicross, that would ruin their paces? Yeah. What was the feedback there?
It is incredible, actually. And, you know, we all know that our dogs are clever, and they just get it. It depends on if my dogs know that they've got a Canicross harness on, they know they can pull, and they absolutely, that is what is expected. Yeah. And that is what they would do. If they have a show collar put on and a show lead, they know that they trot at my side, and they know the pace, they know what's involved. And there's a lot of people in the show world that I've come across that do also Canicross, or that do agility. So, you know, there are people that, and I think that goes with the territory, that if you're in the dog world, you're probably quite often doing multiple activities. And so there are, you know, people that will do certainly in the Finnish Lapland community, there are fellow canny crossers out there. So no, the dogs are incredible. They know what they're doing. So we have every faith. Yeah.
We had that feedback actually on a podcast we did with a gun dog trainer, and she said, you know, the dogs precisely know which uniform they're putting on. So if it's the canny cross one, they know that they're going to be canny crossing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and we get asked that, especially if people have spent a lot of work, you know, lead training their dogs to walk by their side. You know, to your point, the dogs, as long as you're not mixing and confusing the dogs, and they know what it's about. They know when they're going in the car and when they're going for a run versus yeah. going for a walk, or, you know, showing the dog. So in terms of canicross, obviously you've fallen in love with it, as have your dogs, and it's a big part of your life. So in terms of the benefit to the dogs, what would you say those have been?
So canicross has revolutionized, you know, my dogs' lives. It's given them a freedom. It's I mean, Otto is what we call a social butterfly. He ultimately loves other dogs, but he has had to learn that not all other dogs will like him. Whereas Montu in reverse is naturally quite a nervous dog. And it gave him the confidence to know that he could be with other dogs, but they were going to be under control, and that they could be his friends without needing to, be jumping up at each other. So he has this little community of his dog friends, and he absolutely loves it. And they've grown to, you know, they love him too. He has his little friends that he runs with. So I think, you know, from the dog's perspectives, it has, you know, they know when we're going out on a canicross run, and they know that they're going to have fun with their friends. You know, we're always very mindful of other people and new runners that come along with us, to just keep distance until they all get to know each other. But, you know, that's no different to kind of getting to know new people, is it? That we, you know, we sort of, don't always know who you're going to get along with. But they, you know, the dogs are all under control. And I think that's really been the biggest takeaway of canicross for us. It's, you know, it's allowing the dogs to have, you know, their fun and their freedom. Getting out and about.
Yeah, it can be absolutely transformational. And sometimes for people that have reactive or anxious dogs, you know, they're worried about joining in, but literally you're attached to your dog the whole time and you can keep your distance. And, you know, it's just so beneficial. But, you know, you're a very experienced canicrosser, and I know you run a local social group, but you also compete as well. Tell us a little bit about that. How often do you run socially? And then, you know, some of the events that you've done as well with the two of them. Do you run with both of them all the time, or is it?
The social, you know, depending on who's on the run, would you know, I'll decide on who out of the two I run with, whether I run with both or just Montu, my little he's my little race dog. Now it's a little bit sad for him, actually, because he was absolutely fantastic as a race dog from when we started, when he was 18 months. He did his first race, and he absolutely loves it. He knows, like they all do, don't they? They know when it's a race. And he's really competitive, and he does a brilliant race finish. He'll sometimes bark at the dogless runners to G them up a bit as they approach the finish. And he always finds the photographer, you know, that's lurking in the bushes, and he'll give them a big lappy smile. But as his anxiety developed, he did struggle a little bit with the racing. And I think it's purely because of, like, a lot of the energy at the beginning. So he couldn't quite cope with that. But what we'd managed to do, and it is sad, I'd started doing park run with him locally. And then unfortunately, and he'd got really, really good, and he got his confidence right back. And then lockdown happened. And then he couldn't do it. And then unfortunately, then obviously, you know, they took the decision to stop allowing canicross you know, dog runners. So we've not been able to go back to it. So he's not been able to get back into the racing world. However, we have just entered our first race together at the end of this month, at the end of March, and I'm really hoping that he'll be kind of in a good place and then we will do it, because I think he does love it, so I do want him to get back into that. But no, on the social side, you know, we have runs most days. I've got one tonight. So yeah, we're kind of, yeah, quite an active little club.
Yeah.
And yeah, we get out and about and explore the North Downs and Surrey Hills.
Lovely.
What sort of distances are you running?
Well, see, I'm not as fit as I was, but Monty can do up to half marathon distance. But as those in our club know, that Monty is definitely more of a plodder. He's definitely not. Yeah. But the thing is, he has endurance. So that is the one thing that he does do. He can go on, and we spend a lot of time in the Alps, which is certainly, well, it's not just his happy place. It's all of our happy place. And he can hike, you know, up there all day, every day. He's absolutely, you know, at one with the mountains. So he's definitely got the endurance, but just not the speed.
Yeah, so he's obviously enjoying this time of year as well, because the, you know, obviously we're in prime canicross season. So what sort of, because the dogs have got long coats, what's your sort of routine kind of in the kind of summer months? Do you stop completely? Do you do really early mornings? What's your routine?
So I stop completely with my two. I might, if it's cool enough, we might do a really early, you know, sort of 5:30 run, but they're pretty much, you know, they stop from April onwards, which is why I'm known as my club. I've pretty much borrowed every type of dog, every dog going, and sometimes you'll see me a bit speedier because I've borrowed, yeah, borrowed a, well, we've got a typical canicrosser, but yes, yeah, so unfortunately, yeah, they can't because of their coats are so fluffy, but they do have a double coat, so actually, ironically, it does keep them cooler. But no, and the beauty of our breed as well is that they absolutely will tell you when they don't want to do it. So, you know, yeah, we'll have what we call sit down meltdowns, and we're just like, no, I'm not moving anywhere. And anyone with a northern dog will relate to that.
Oh, brilliant.
Excellent. I mean, that's what we always say. It's about knowing your dog, isn't it? And every dog and every breed is different. And it's about being sensible. But yeah, there's always people in the social groups that have got more than one dog that I'm one of those people that's always been really happy when there's somebody that's desperate for a dog. So you can help out. So that's great. It's been fantastic to have you along today, Lucy. I'd just like to ask one final question, which we always ask all of our guests. So what would be your advice to anyone who's listening to this and thinking of starting canicross?
I would say, you know, just do it. Find your local social club, find a local trainer, and get all the, it's all about the right equipment, isn't it? So getting the right equipment on your dog, and knowing your dog as well, so knowing what they can do. So whether it means you just need to sort of start going out yourself, you know, just you and the dog first, but certainly don't be afraid. I think that's the one thing I come across is that people get really nervous about sort of starting out, and but once you've started, you know I've never met anyone that hasn't got the bug. So it's just about making that first step doing it.
Oh, that's brilliant. It's been so lovely to chat with you, and you know, we're going to wish you all the success in your 10k. When is that event? That's at the end of the month, is it?
Yeah, end of the month. End of March.
Good luck. Let us know how you get on, won't you?
Good luck with that, and thank you for joining us on the show today.
Thank you, and I'll be off to Crufts next week.
Enjoy Crufts. Cool.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Talk Canicross. We really hope that you've enjoyed it. But don't forget to hit subscribe so we can keep you up to date and let you know when the next episode comes out. Happy canicrossing. Thank you for listening to this episode of Talk Canicross. We really hope that you've enjoyed it. But don't forget to hit subscribe so we can keep you up to date and let you know when the next episode comes out. Happy canicrossing.